you know, I've been kind of toying with the thought that Brother Dave raised just in terms of what we have with Hannah and some of the other examples that we're going to take up. You know, when we think about prayer, I mean, we're seeking to define it, as Brother Dave said, you know, it's access or approach. But what really is prayer? I mean, we see what Hannah is doing. Hannah is communicating with God. And she's doing so because she believes that in God there is a power that is able to handle or help in these circumstances. We have, through the Spirit of God, many tools that have been given to us as the believer. And you might say that this is one of the greatest tools that we have in our toolbox as a Christian. The power of prayer. Being able to communicate with divine persons. And to know that as we communicate with the Father and the Son through the Spirit, that the ear of God is open to whatever it is that we are communicating with divine persons about. In Hannah's case here, it was about a circumstance related to her barrenness and to the fact that she was being ridiculed. You know, some of you, most of you are not married, but it is a wonderful thing to be married and to produce offspring. It's a blessing from the Lord. So here was Hannah, and she was unable to produce fruit. And she was being mocked because of it. And she was downcast, and she was depressed. And so she said, I need to communicate with someone, and it's not the priest here, because the verse before us tells us that the priest was not in any condition to help Hannah. And even when she went to the temple, you could see that he was not in the state that he should have been. But Hannah understood this thing about prayer, of talking to God, of being able to, reverently, tap into a source that was greater than herself. She could not, with all of the best intentions, visiting many doctors, Hannah was never going to solve this problem naturally. But communicating with the one who made her, communicating with the one who had the authority and the power through prayer to change her circumstances is what Hannah understood. And I believe as believers, we have to understand that prayer is the dynamo of the believer. It is God's power. And through prayer, he changes things.
Well, Tony, you said that you described prayer as a tool, a toolbox. I really like that. I would add to that, not only is one of the greatest tools, I think sometimes it's one of the most underused tools.
That's right.
Now, there's so many things that we as Christians have as a result of being Christians. You know, we have salvation, we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of these things don't require us really to do anything except for that original action of accepting the Lord into our hearts. And how many of us are just accepting the salvation and then we kind of just live basically close to the way we did before we were saved? You know, when we read, and I think reading the Bible is, in some ways, it's, forgive me if I'm being a little whatever here, but in some ways it's a little easier to do because it's almost intellectual. You know, I'm reading, I'm learning about what God said, I'm learning history and these things. And so some, especially for guys, maybe for myself, when I was younger and in college, it always interested me. I said, I'm going to read, of course I'm going to read. But the prayer, I mean, it almost seems like a lot of times we do it, and we do it when we need something. And we lose this idea that it's, you know, in Hebrews 7 it says, and it's talking about the priesthood here, which I think prayer is so closely connected with, because before Christ came, you know, the only access you have is really through the priest. Well, now you have the priest, and it says, this is Hebrews 7, verse 23, and there have been many priests, talking about the priests in the past, on account of being hindered from continuing by death. But he, because of his continuing forever, has the priesthood unchangeable. Whence also he is able to save completely those who approach by him to God, always living to intercede for them. So he's continually there, unchanging, constant, always ready to intercede for us. Yet do we only use him when we feel like we need something? You know, it's an underused tool. We should be communicating with our Savior, with the Father through the Savior, as much as we possibly can.
And it's sad that we don't use prayer so much, because looking at Hannah, you see how she was before she prayed and how she was after. She was sorrowful. She was bitter, and she wept much. And afterwards, in verse 18, it says her countenance was no more as before.
Sure.
You see what prayer does for the believer. It's so comforting, and you can just pour out everything before the Lord and leave it there, because you know who He is and what He's capable of doing for you. And it's so encouraging, and you have peace afterwards, because it's in the Lord's hands now, and I don't have to worry about it. It's an encouraging thing that we have this privilege to go before the Lord. We should use it more, but sometimes we rely on ourselves, and I think that's the problem we have today.
If we could give the New Testament counterpart, I believe that verse 18 shows me the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Here in the Old Testament is a woman who enjoyed that peace. She has expressed that she has poured out of the abundance of my complaint and grief. Both of these things were there. I have brought it to the Lord. How many of us have taken something to the Lord? We've prayed about it, and then we've anguished about it. And then we've prayed more about it, and then we've anguished more about it. That's not being anxious for nothing. But we have to remind one another, we that are parents and grandparents, well, wait a minute, we've prayed about this thing. Don't we trust the God that we've brought it to? Let's take it, let's put it in His hands, and then, Lord, help us to leave it there. Help us to enjoy this peace that You've talked about.
Yeah, Chuck, I think the problem is so many times there is not that complete laying of whatever it is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. In verse 15, when I've poured out my soul before the Lord. I mean, that, to me, that's a very complete and extreme thing, Amen. Pouring out your soul. For us, maybe sometimes we're giving them a little bit. You know, Lord, I need Your help. And then we go on thinking, well, what are we going to do to solve this problem? That's not leaving at the feet of the Lord Jesus.
I think we need to say that prayer is a matter of the heart. Verse 15 says, poured out my soul. We can pray, but it's not necessarily a matter of the heart. We can understand there's a need, and we can pray about that need, but maybe it really wasn't a matter of the heart. The Lord says in Matthew that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so what is really dwelling in the innermost part of my soul, my being, in regards to what I need and to present to the Lord, who is going to hear as this divine person, to present to Him? Is it going to be something that I'm going to do out of a habitual, it needs to be habitual, but out of just a legalistic way, where okay, yes, we sometimes say, I read my Bible today and I prayed, so I did my due diligence. That, I don't believe, is really what is being presented to us as what we see in Hannah as she poured out her heart to the Lord, and this is what the Lord heard, and then was able to respond to that need. And so, what is in my heart? And that's a challenge that will go with us, young people and old people. Because it's with us every day of our lives while we're here in the scene. What is in my heart? And how do I present that then to the Lord? And to really have a way to present, to pour out my heart that would be occupied with this need, and to present it to the Lord who understands it.